Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, buddy, we got some breaking news here on this Monday morning. Another socialist dictator toppled by Team Trump. No, I'm not talking about Saturday morning's breaking news about the arrest and capture of the narco-terrorist illegitimate dictator of Venezuela, Nicolai Maduro. It's Nicolai. It's not Nicholas. By the way, was it Rush Limbaugh? Did Rush always call Nicolas Maduro Nicolai Maduro? I've always called him Nicolai Maduro, and I think it's because of the late, great Rush Limbaugh. Because, look, it's not Nicolas Maduro. This guy is cut from the same cloth from these other communists and these other socialists and America's enemies. And so call him the Soviet communist that he is. Call him Nicolai instead of Nicholas. I digress. What's the breaking news about another socialist dictator toppled by Team Trump? I got a text message from Tim in Savage out there on the Mondakistan border, and he said, "Hey, Tampon Tim Walz is not running for re-election." So Saturday morning, the first notification that I saw on my phone when I slept in till 6 o'clock in the morning came from Truth Social, and it was President Trump's remarks about the successful capture of Nicolai Maduro. Well, right after I read the message from Tim N. Savage, I got a notification from Truth Social. Here you go, Newsmax, breaking. Governor Tim Walz, Democrats 2024 vice presidential candidate, says he will not run for a third term as Minnesota governor. Walz's office has scheduled a Monday morning news conference. I hope they pepper the hell out of that guy with questions about how he has covered up this billions and billions of dollars of fraud in when it comes to this Somali welfare fraud scandal in Minnesota, and what he knew and when he knew it and why he didn't do squat about it. But yeah, there you go. That's the big breaking news that just came out. Another socialist dictator toppled by Team Trump. And by the way, big credit to Nick Shirley. Nick Shirley is that 23-year-old young man who did what the fake news media refuses to do, which is actual real-world journalism and investigative reporting, where he went and helped expose on a massive scale the Somali fraud. Which, by the way, so Friday night I was on Newsmax. Speaking of Newsmax, I was on Newsmax TV on Friday night, and we were talking about, the fake news media. And there's a new anchor of the CBS Evening News. And, we talked about this in the news media and, their cookie cutter media consultant driven messaging and things like that. But the one thing I wanted to say that I didn't get time to say on Friday night is, look, we don't need these media consultant-driven messages from these news anchors telling us how they're going to, be here for you and they're working for you. We need real journalism. We need Nick Shirley-style reporting that actually tells the truth and exposes the truth. So that was the one line I wanted to throw out there on Friday that I couldn't, but let's throw it in right now as another socialist dictator toppled by Team Trump. All right, we got a great guest joining us right after this, and then we'll open up the phone lines for you.
It's January 5th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. It's National Screenwriters Day, and if you ask actor Ryan Reynolds, screenwriters are unsung heroes.
It's a hugely undervalued asset in Hollywood. They are the architects. They make us look good.
So grab your laptop, head to your closest coffee shop, and start typing away. Who knows, someday Ryan Reynolds may talk about you. Also on this date, Henry Ford doubled the per-day wage for most of his workers from $2.40 for a 9-hour day to $5 for an 8-hour day in 1914. Legendary Dodgers player Jackie Robinson announced his retirement in 1957. If it's your birthday today, you share it with King C. Gillette, the inventor of inexpensive and disposable razors, born in 1855. And REO Speedwagon drummer Brian Hitt, born in 1954. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Mm.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, there you go. Very clearly the toppling of this socialist dictator in Minnesota, Tampon Tim Walz, is because of the fraud, the welfare fraud that was exposed in his state in particular. And he was called out by state public employees who said they told him about it and he wouldn't do anything about it because it was, you know, it was the Somali, you know, community and he needed their votes. So he didn't do squat about it. But fraud is exactly what we're talking about. Welfare fraud in particular. We've got Montana's state auditor, James Brown, now with us on the show. James, first off, your reaction to the news out of Minnesota. You and I were talking during the break. I mean, the big picture here is that this fraud, Minnesota is the tip of the iceberg. California is the gigantic iceberg underneath. But really, welfare fraud, Medicaid fraud, it's taking place all over the country.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The timing of the announcement from Walz in Minnesota couldn't have been any better for me coming onto the show today and you and I talking last week about my office's efforts to combat fraud. My thought on Walz is that finally someone's being held accountable, right? Finally. He needed to resign, frankly. He should just resign immediately. That's an embarrassment. But what we're seeing, as you stated, I'm the state auditor, and what, of course, one of the things that I'm tasked with the legislature with is fighting fraud in Montana. And as you were stating, what we're seeing as government continues to grow and grow and get bigger and bigger is the amount of fraud that's being perpetrated against government programs and against the people of the United States continues to grow. Minnesota follows on the heels of a fraud scheme that was discovered
Fox
in Arizona
News commentary.
In 2025 that occurred between the spring of 22 and 24, where there were about $2.5 billion in fraud against taxpayers down in Arizona on a scheme where, this is awful, where they were supposedly treating Native Americans for substance abuse, putting them into sober living homes, and then they actually weren't providing the care. And one of the things that I'm working on in Montana is a similar takeoff as to what happened in Arizona. What's happening is we've discovered that Native Americans from Montana are being transported down to Arizona or to California, supposedly being treated for alcohol and addiction abuse. And then what happens is that these treatment providers then bill our insurance companies that operate in Montana for fraudulent services. Right now we're investigating, and I'm not making this number up, we think that it's probably about $30 million in fraud against Montana insurance companies.
Wow, it's crazy. Yeah, because when we look, you know, the thing that Nick Shirley put a spotlight on was specifically this daycare fraud from these Somali daycares, and he shows up and there's no kids there at all. And, you know, you've got nearly 90, I think, Minnesotans, the predominantly Somali, you know, Somalians, who are already being federally prosecuted, not state prosecuted, federally prosecuted for the fraud there. But we know that this fraud is taking place across the board, especially now that we know that, like, taxpayer funds are going to fund daycares. We don't have a big Somali migrant community in Montana, but it certainly begs the question, are state funds or federal funds that are supposedly going to child care, also is there fraud like that taking place in Montana as well?
Well, yeah, I have to give credit to Governor Gianforte and his administration on this. I don't know if you saw the announcement that they're directing the Montana Department of Health and Human Services to look in to see whether this kind of fraud is happening in Montana as well. And so, again, yeah, as I led off with Tim Walz, this is about government accountability and making sure that your elected officials are accountable and doing what's right and not just turning a blind eye to what's happening in this country. You know, the other thing that I'm working with my fellow auditors across the country is looking into the fraud that's happening into the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, so Obamacare, particularly through these advanced premium tax credits. The GAO released a gray report, which is the U.S. Government Accountability Office, in December that talked about the fact that Most of those who apply for these advanced premium tax credits are not being properly vetted under the law to see if they actually qualify for them. I mean, as you stated, Aaron, I mean, the welfare state is, it gets bigger and bigger, and more Americans are getting ripped off.
Yeah, well, we're glad to hear not only that you are going after this in your office there at the Montana State Auditor's Office, but also that the governor's office has DPHHS going after it as well. Yeah, that might have been one of those news headlines that got buried over the holiday break, you know, the Christmas holiday break heading into New Year's as well. So that's why we got to jump right on this stuff here right out the gates in 2026. James Brown, you had these sober living facilities. We've long heard complaints from our listeners. I think our listeners in the Billings area in particular, you know, I know you can't talk specific cases, but we've long heard complaints where they say, hey, look, there's apparently this sober living house down the street. There doesn't appear to be anybody overseeing anybody at that place. So it sounds like their suspicions, you know, again, not talking specific cases, but some of the suspicions we've heard are confirmed here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that they're doing that's getting around the rules is there's supposed to be a medical provider on site that is actually monitoring the treatment. What we're finding out is in a lot of these treatment houses, there's no provider on site.
Wow. Hold that thought. Montana State Auditor James Brown, we got to take a quick break here. We'll come back to you right after this for any final thoughts or anything else we might have missed or anything else you want our listeners all across Montana to hear about. So stand by. We'll come back to Montana State Auditor James Brown right after this. Plus, if you got something you want to talk about, you want to jump in on the conversation, give us a ring, 406-294-0970.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, I'm going to get to the phone lines here in just a second. If you got something you want to talk about, 406-294-0970, whether it's the successful raid, the arrest of narco-terrorist Nicolai Maduro, or anything else you want to talk about, phone lines are open, 406-294-0970. But first, I'm going to sneak on Tim in Billings, because since we're talking with State Auditor James Brown about welfare fraud and so much more, I think Tim in Billings has a question. Tim, go ahead. Great to hear from you.
Well, actually, just kind of more of a comment regarding the CMMS, so Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services. I actually, towards the end of last year, started working as a contractor doing site inspections to make sure that we don't have fraud happening in the Billings area. And just in the short amount of time that I've been doing it, one of the issues that I think that we have is, as usual with any sort of government agency, you see, I work for a contractor to the contractor to the contractor. The federal government gives out a contract, and then they give that contract to somebody else. And so I'm like the fourth or fifth contractor in line to do these surveys, these site surveys. So everything works at a glacial pace. But, you know, these, when I saw the Nick Shirley videos, I'm looking at these buildings, and there's no hours displayed, there's no name of the facility displayed, just some very basic things that you can assess within 5 minutes, and you say, this is not a legitimate business.
Like the word learning on Learning Center, the word learning was misspelled. Hey, Tim.
Exactly right.
Yeah, Tim, great to hear from you. Before I go to State Auditor James Brown, totally different topic altogether. Did you make it to Moose's Saloon over the weekend? You were in Kalispell for a tournament. Did you make it to Moose's?
We didn't go to Moose's. We went to another establishment that had a little wider variety of menus, so that the players had a little more options other than either just pizza or sandwiches, which I know Moose's has got fantastic fare on both occasions. But we had some players that were a little more picky, and they didn't want pizza or sandwiches.
They denied you their Moose's.
We went to a place called Fat Boys. It was very good. Fat Boys.
Yeah,
so.
Very good. Very good.
All right. Very fun.
Well, great to hear from you. Thanks for calling in. State Auditor James Brown, your thoughts on what Tim had to say.
Yeah, well, he made a really good point. I'm glad he brought it up. So, with programs like Obamacare, the ACA, those programs are run by the federal government, right? And so on this work that I'm trying to do to claw back money that was fraudulently paid out for fraudulent treatment services, I still have to get federal approval to try to claw back that funding. And the entity that that is done through is CMS, which he referred to, which essentially runs the Obamacare program. So, but, you know, I have to partner with the federal government in doing these things. Second thing is I need to clarify a little bit what I was talking about the Gianforte administration. So the Trump administration was the one that had announced that they're going to require states to verify that the funding for child care through the Child Care and Development Fund needs to be verified. So got a little bit sideways there, but I'm sure the state of Montana will provide documentation as to where this type of funding goes through. But to the larger point that he was talking about, no doubt. I mean, the bigger a federal program is, the more likely that there's fat, first of all. And second thing is that there's fraud. And as I just referenced, I mean, I'm seeing it in several different areas on which I work as the state auditor.
So did I hear you right, that you as the state auditor, you identify what your investigators identify what they believe is fraud, and no matter how good and clear-cut the case is, you still have to get permission from the feds to claw back the fundings. If that's accurate, maybe that's something we can work with the Trump administration on to streamline, to say, wait a minute, if a state investigative agency says this is fraudulent, why do you have to wait and wait and wait and get federal approval to claw back the fraud? Claw back the fraud right away. States should have that authority. This is partly one more reason why we should start to push more of this to the states instead of just at the feds.
No, you absolutely nailed it as to how it works. That's exactly right. I employ four fraud investigators as part of my staff. We're the ones that have been doing the investigation into this. Then what we do is we identify the cases that we believe to fraud, but we have to refer those up to CMS, and then they're the ones that have to basically sign off on trying to get that money recouped for our insurance companies. So we do all the labor and the work. We provide the information, but it's still out of my hands on a final decision. So as you stated, yeah, this would be a good reason for Trump administration to do more partnership with states like Montana on these types of projects.
So when we go back to Nick Shirley, this incredible 23-year-old young man who, by the way, has also exposed Antifa in parts of the country through his reporting, he exposed the quality learning, as they misspelled learning center, and so much more in Minnesota. If the fact is there's Nick Shirley's across Montana that are seeing stuff that doesn't square with them, maybe in their own neighborhood, whether it's a so-called sober living facility or a daycare or a whatever that just doesn't seem right. Or like Tim and Billings, who's going out looking at some of this stuff, how can they share information with you and your team?
Yeah, and that's another good lead-in. So as a state auditor, we're the point agency for citizens of Montana to report fraud, even when the fraud may not be within our jurisdiction. So, you know, if you see fraud somewhere, give our office a call or go on our website at csimt.gov, csimt.gov, or call 406-459-0682. And then we can be the tip of the spear for reporting fraud and then report it out to other agencies. I will say this, we are working very closely with the Attorney General, Austin Knutson, on trying to combat some of this fraud, and I need to give credit to him and his agency as well. He does a big consumer protection role for the people of the state of Montana, just like I do.
All right, State Auditor James Brown, great to have you on the show as always. Putting your political hat on now here for a couple of minutes, any reaction to the weekend's events? You're also an attorney. You've been hearing a lot of the news about, you know, I mean, about this narco-terrorist Nicolai Maduro. First off, I mean, how incredible is this? What an incredible testament to our American military. The coordination of all the aircraft, the naval vessels, and then these badass operators that go into a foreign country, a hostile foreign country, protected by Iranian air defenses, protected by Cuban private security guards. They go into his bedroom and arrest him and not one aircraft taken down, no American operator killed. This is remarkable.
Yeah, it is. I mean, this is a good question for me because, as we talked about, told you before, father grew up ranching in Montana, but decided he wanted to see the world and became a CIA officer for 30 years during the Cold War. You know, when I read the news about the amazing work done by our military and law enforcement, my first thought was literally this. This is a reminder to the world that the United States is not to be messed with, and we are still the number one world power. And my second thought was, is the biggest existential threat to the United States, as we were just discussing, is not going to be from our outside adversaries. Our military is just incredible. It's going to be from the inside, as we talked about, just the growth of government, the bloat, wasteful spending, making it more expensive for Americans to do business here, you know, undermining our communities. That was literally my thought, is that our biggest threat is internal, not external.
Kyle, that reminds me. I should get a hold of who's your buddy, the CIA veteran who writes for the Epoch Times, who came out to campaign
for Brad Johnson.
Yeah, the other Brad Johnson.
Johnson. Not the other Brad Johnson.
Not the former PSC commissioner, Secretary of State, but the other Brad. Yeah, that I need to get him back on the show to talk about this because just his insight. He was CIA. Your dad was CIA. And really, you know, the incredible intelligence that was delivered to make this whole thing possible. I mean, I was reading one account, I think in Politico's playbook or somewhere, where Maduro tried to flee. He had like a steel encased safe room in his palace. He tried to flee to the steel safe room and couldn't get there in time because that's how quickly they got on target and took his butt out of there.
Yeah, I mean, this operation is a message to the Chinese. It really was, in a way, because ever since the Monroe Doctrine, obviously, the United States has taken a keen interest in what happens in the Western Hemisphere, Central America, South America. And I can tell you the Chinese, as you know, are trying to play around in Central America and South America.
They were there that day.
This was a warning to them.
They were there that day. A Chinese delegation visited them on Friday, and later that same night, without China even knowing about it, oh, a huge embarrassment to the communist Chinese. And Vladimir Putin, boy, he lost his boy. He lost his little, well, I'll say boy. I want to use a different word, in Venezuela, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, and of course, I mean, Trump is, I mean, what an incredible president he is, right? I mean, truly America first. So the other thing that came out of that operation is the message to the Russians that, you know, if you aren't going to come to the peace negotiation table, well, there could be consequences in that regard. And really, the biggest message was to the Iranians.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, that if they continue messing around with their proxies in the Middle East and elsewhere, then, you know, pretty easy for us to snatch and grab them, too.
If they didn't get the message already, boy, what's Ali the rat hiding out in his underground bunker thinking right now? By the way, it was Dr. Mehrdad Kiev from the University of Montana, who grew up in Iran, who said that that's what the people are calling him right now, because he is literally hiding out in a bunker, and they call him the supreme leader of Iran. They call him Ali the rat. All right, James Brown, great to have you on the show. And man, I'm so glad I threw that question out to you on an unrelated topic, because it was great to get your insight. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, you bet. Have a good day.
All right. Yeah, Happy New Year to you and yours and your team as well. Quick break here on Montana Talks. I think we've got a guest joining us right after this, buddy. But if not, we'll just keep rolling with your phone calls. So 406-294-0970. I can always maybe sneak on a quick caller before we get to the guest, too, if we want. And then a big 9 o'clock hour. I definitely want to get some phone calls in the 9 o'clock hour if we can. But we've got Senator Daines and MSU's athletic director joining us.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we do have Henry Kriegel with Americans for Prosperity Montana joining us. I think he's going to give a ring to the studio number right now. We had him on our little Teams chat, but, you know, sometimes that can be a little bit of a challenge. So that's all right. I think we got him coming in on the phone lines right now. Henry, is that you? Are you there?
I am right here. Happy New Year to you, Aaron.
Hey, Happy New Year to you. Hey, before we get into, you know, any of the topics you want to cover, of course, this segment is sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Montana. Henry Kriegel is the Deputy State Director for AFP Montana. I got to just get your take, get your quick reaction to the incredible news over the weekend. This narco-terrorist socialist dictator, Nicolai Maduro, being taken down, arrested by U.S. Law enforcement and U.S. military forces. I know you've got some incredible freedom fighters like yourself within Americans for Prosperity. I've talked with some of them, you know, guys who grew up in communist countries in Central and South America, and that's why they're such passionate fighters and defenders of freedom in America. I'll bet you they just got to be celebrating this news.
Well, I can only speak personally on this matter, Aaron. I can tell you that certainly taking down a dictator that has enslaved, forced, 8 million Venezuelans to flee the country, and now once the richest nation in South America, oil rich, is now one of the most impoverished, where reports indicated that some people were actually stealing and killing zoo animals for food. I don't know the veracity of those reports. They seem to be pretty legitimate to having that guy gone. There's celebrations all over Venezuela and elsewhere, especially among the Venezuelan communities here in the States and around the country. So we celebrate that. Certainly there's some concerns about what's next. We don't want a U.S. Engagement with, you know, boots on the ground. We don't want it. This administration does not believe in endless wars, neither do we. And we hope that it will be a peaceful and civil transition of power to one that respects the inherent freedoms of its people and helps restore the nation to greater prosperity and liberty for everyone in Venezuela. So there's a lot yet to be done, a lot more to be on, to be revealed to us in terms of who the next leadership will be. And we hope and pray for a great outcome for the Venezuelan people and for our hemisphere as a whole. So there's a lot to be determined. Obviously, the scale of the operations implemented with great perfection was unbelievable. So a lot to be grateful for, and a good amount to be concerned about as well. So
that's right.
We'll see how it goes. We'll hope and pray for the best.
Well said all around. Yeah, nobody wants to see the Iraq-style nation building. That is for sure. But a lot of work to be done now. Now is when the real work begins by our diplomats and other folks like that. Very well said across the board. What are the big topics you want to cover here this morning?
Well, you know, we're in a fresh and a new year. We got a clean slate to work with. Obviously, we've been gearing up for 2026 for quite some time right now. You'll see Americans for Prosperity Montana engage in the upcoming legislative races here in the state, in the primaries in particular, where many of the races are decided, particularly in the very red districts, so that we can truly achieve a policy majority in the House and Senate, and not just a Republican majority, because as you know, Americans for Prosperity is all about getting policies that enhance the freedom and liberty of all Montanans that are transformational in nature. And to do that, we need people elected who can champion these policies, not just guys with R's behind their names, but guys who really fight for Montanans.
Yeah, Montana
That's
really
a big
is.
Issue for us.
I really feel like Montana is at this turning point right now. I mean, you could talk about the turning point. I think 2020 and COVID-19 was a turning point for Montana in a lot of ways. You know, the former Democrat governor obviously went too far with the lockdowns and the mandates and the big government approach. Montanans officially rejected that by, you know, voting in Senator Steve Daines against the sitting Governor Bullock at the time by 10 points across the state. That was huge. That was a huge turning point for the state. But I think now we're at this turning point where people are saying, okay, we always considered Montana a purple state before. Sometimes it would go blue, sometimes it would go red, sometimes it was race specific for, you know, this seat or that seat. But I think it's very clear now that Montana is a solid red state now. So let's act like it. Like, we don't have to, you know, we don't need to compromise with the Democrats. The Democrats should be compromising and supporting our stuff for a change. And so, you know, we don't want to be like what has happened to states like Wyoming where, oh, yeah, it's a Republican state, but then you get a bunch of people that run as Republicans, and they don't end up, you know, passing a strong conservative legislation. I think that's changing in Wyoming now. You know, they got a great Speaker of the House, things like that. But we can't have, you know, Montana be a Republican state, but yet not passing strong conservative legislation, et cetera.
Yes, there was a lot left on the table during the last legislative session in terms of education freedom, in terms of pension reform, in terms of our budgeting process, spending. We spent everything spent 13.5% greater than before in terms of an increase in the overall budget. So there was a lot to be left on the table from the last session. We didn't have judicial reform. So, you know, we've denied judges the right of free association to declare their party affiliation, and we denied voters the information that they might need to make a more informed vote. Not because we want these guys to enact a party plan. I think we want them to be textualists or constitutionalists. But we missed up on those opportunities, and that made our job a little more difficult, but not impossible. So we'll be engaging in primary races like we've never done before. And on a federal level, we've got a lot on the table as well that Montana will our chapter here will engage in. And the important thing that we all need to recognize is that, yeah, we may not have the top of the ticket race with, for the president and Donald Trump bringing in all the voters to the polls. But these midterm elections here in the state, you know, and the state elections are critically important.
Oh, yeah. We've got
the
Senate race.
Direction of our state.
We've got a U.S. Senate race. We've got Congressman Ryan Zinke running for re-election in the Western Congressional District. The Democrats are going to pour a ton of money and resources into that. So even though Zinke will win that race, we've still got to continue. He's not going to do it without us, without all of us. And so, Dan Wilson running for Montana Supreme Court, that's got to be a top focus. And then, of course, legislative elections like you've referred to as well. So earlier this morning, I was kind of in line with the budget conversation here. Earlier this morning, I was talking with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal, and you know, every year around this time, the Bureau of Business and Economic Research, they do a statewide tour where they do their economic outlook seminar, and apparently one of the big topics they're going to be discussing is a potential sales tax. And I loved the response from Bruce in Ennis. Bruce in Ennis said, hey, instead of a seminar on sales taxes, why don't we have a seminar on reducing government spending? I love Bruce's response.
You got to love that. That's awesome. Yeah, I didn't. That was news to us, and hopefully we can get some of our people to attend that and ask that in real time. These guys aren't policymakers, but you know, they are obviously you know, they may be, you know, floating a trial balloon out there to see what Montana's think of it. So we should let them know how we feel.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I know the Montana Chamber of Commerce is pushing it because, you know, because they're mad that, you know, a lot of the businesses saw a property tax increase, and you can't fault them for that. I just don't think personally that a sales tax is the answer. You talk judicial reform. What can we do to really push more of this judicial reform in this new year, in 2026?
Oh, that's a really great question. First of all, I'm concerned about the constitutional initiative. Two of them that may get enough signatures to get on the ballot. It might prove to be unconstitutional as a whole because it would deny the right of judicial candidates to declare their party affiliation of CI 131 and CI 132. And hopefully that won't even see the light of day. We'll see how that proceeds. Other than that, there's the Judicial Performance Evaluation Commission that is now meeting to develop a survey to help us understand how well our judges are performing. And the results of those surveys will be made available, particularly for those current judges who are running for re-election. Now, I don't know if that's going to be available for the 2026 elections because they're just getting started with the process. But having information about how judges perform would be critical.
Yeah, yeah. And if I remember right, you were appointed to serve on that commission. There'll be a bipartisan commission. If I remember right, you're on that commission. We had the chairman, former state senator Keith Regeer, join us before Christmas talking about it. Very informative. And, of course, he'll do a great job as the chair of that. Quick break. Henry Kriegel, if you can, stick with us. We'll talk more right after this.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The difference with Donald Trump is many folds here, because not only is he giving the largest tax cuts in history, and that includes for working men and women, that includes no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, no tax on Social Security. This is where I say that the Republican Party is now the party of hardworking men and women. And the president understands that, and he wants to represent people like that. And he did so in the first 3 years of his first term. That's why we had record low unemployment for every demographic group in the country. And it was one record set after another record set after another record set. It just kept going. And then, of course, COVID hit, and everything stopped on a dime.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, folks, time to talk about real money, gold and silver. Now, the analysts, you know, the guys behind closed doors digging deep into the data, well, they are making big predictions for 2026. Now, they now see gold hitting $5,000 an ounce. Wow. How about silver? We're talking about silver surging toward an unbelievable $100 an ounce. I'm going to tell you what, I'm not waiting until I see these prices in the headlines. I'm taking action now. That's why I am a customer of the best in the business, and that is Gold Co. They are my number one pick for gold and silver. I trust them to help diversify and protect my retirement savings. Right now, they're offering you a free 2026 gold and silver kit, plus a limited time offer where you can get 10% instant match in bonus gold or silver just for getting started. Call now, 855-815-GOLD, or just go to HannityGold.com. That's 855-815-G-O-L-D, or HannityGold, one word, .com.
The week ahead.
Monday, the balance of power in the U.S. House of Representatives is a little tighter, with Georgia's Marjorie Taylor Greene resigning. Tuesday, the world of tech gathers in Las Vegas. CES 2026 begins with new products being unveiled and keynote speeches from the heads of Siemens, Lenovo, and AMD, among others. Wednesday, the House Oversight Committee will host a hearing on social services fraud in the state of Minnesota. The Trump administration has said it has frozen all child care funds to that state as a result of the scam. And Nick Reiner is back at a California court. The son of Rob and Michelle Reiner will be arraigned, accused of stabbing his parents to death last month. Thursday, the David Bowie sci-fi classic Labyrinth returns to theaters, commemorating its 40th anniversary. Friday, the December jobs report will be released, providing one of the last economic outlooks of 2025. It's also National Law Enforcement Appreciation Day. And that's a look at your week ahead. I'm Tom Graham, Fox News.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, let's talk about some of the federal issues that him and his team at AFP Montana are going to be focusing in on in the new year ahead. Henry, let's start with the great news. I know you guys supported the working families tax cuts. Senator Steve Daines is going to be with us coming up in the next hour, mainly talking about the big football game tonight. If people hadn't heard, there's a big game tonight. but we'll be talking about a couple other things with him as well. But the Trump tax cuts officially kick in now that we are in the new year. Great news, especially for working class family folks as well.
Oh, absolutely. That was our biggest federal initiative last year, was to get those tax cuts extended. They were due to expire on January 1, and they are happening. Otherwise, we would have seen a $2 trillion tax increase. Thankfully, individuals and businesses will continue to have reduced taxes, corporate taxes, from down from 35 to 22%. Individuals, pretty much a 3% tax break on every tax bracket. And Standardized deductions pretty much doubled across every bracket as well, and we can still enjoy that. And that is really great news for our economy, great news for Montana families, and great news for individuals who now have more money in their pocket to spend as they see fit. We can spend it better than the government. That's our core belief.
That's right. That's right. And we've seen that, look, you put more money back in the pockets of working families. It's good for the economy. And it ends up actually fueling more revenues, which we still have a $36 trillion debt that's been piled on over the past few years, more recently in the past couple of decades here as well. What are some of your other federal priorities? I know permitting reform to, you know, help unleash American energy and make the production of energy more efficient and less costly here in this country. That'll help consumers at the end of the day as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We have the permit and the speed acts. They both pass through the House. They're going to be in the Senate. They'll have some committee hearings. That's very important to reduce the permitting time so a project can get off the ground. We don't need 12 years of permitting a process. We need it done at like maybe 6 months, a year max. Let's get our energy production rolling. On another federal level, and really important, the COVID era, Biden subsidies for Obamacare have expired. It expired at the end of the year. And there's going to be a big debate as to what's going to replace it. Are we going to subsidize it for, are we going to provide more federal funding for a failed healthcare system, or are we going to transform it? Now, we're all for a health savings account type system, and Senate President Thune was favoring that as well. We have to pay close attention to that issue because we don't want the money going to big insurance companies. We'd rather have the money going to individuals and families and let them determine what best meets their needs. Not a one-size-fits-all type healthcare program called Obamacare. But everything that we predicted about that failed system has occurred. Costs have not been reduced. They've increased. And our access to our healthcare professional that we trust has been reduced. It was a complete and total fraud President Obama said we can still have the position that we've always had. That was not true.
Well, and the very people who burned down the House with this arson fire known as Obamacare are the people who want the keys to the House again. And they want us to keep burning it down, frankly. Now they want to go burn down everything else on the property. It's just insane. Henry Kriegel, Americans for Prosperity, Montana. Great to have you on the show. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Have a great rest of your day.
You too. Happy New Year to you. Sally in Sunburst sent us a message. Happy 250th birthday to our beloved USA. I hope all governors, state auditors, and attorneys general put the scrutiny/accountability into any and all NGO or not-for-profits in every state. The years of monetary flow/management seems questionable for many of these agencies. Sally and Sunburst, thanks for the message. Thanks for listening. Senator Steve Daines kicks off the 9 o'clock hour plus. Leon Costello, the MSU Athletic Director, joining from Nashville.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When was the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
KBUL.